Hi, and welcome to Cameron's Baptist Church Sermons Podcast. We hope you're blessed by today's message.
Can I have that invitation, Paula? You see, this is the wedding invitation. Look at this. Huh? Brother Bola and Sister Segu. Is that it? Or is the other way around? Huh? Bola, sorry. Sister Bola and Segu. I'm not in gender stuff here, so Sister Bola and Segu. And how many children? Three children. You? What was the other? You and who else? Are you? Or see? Three children. How many grandchildren?
Five.
Five? I'll catch up to you, don't worry. Now my first one is over there. And we are here to celebrate with them. You know, the beautiful thing is they have decided to celebrate here. Their 50th anniversary. You know, it's wonderful to see how God has been faithful to Bola and Segu. And I hope to be able to share with you how God has been faithful. And you may remember how many times God has been faithful to you. Do you know how many times? You can't count, because He has always been faithful, because He is a faithful God. Amen? So, your name again?
Shagun Junior.
Oh, that's Junior. So Junior, he also, called Junior. He lived in Brazil. He worked in Brazil. He's a surgeon. He's a doctor. And now they all live in Scotland. You see, they left Scotland, came here on time for the service. And many of you, shame on you. Anyway, so do we have any announcements here? Okay. So next week, I'll be preaching as well. So welcome to our church. Shireen and Noel are away helping their daughter moving home in Germany. We have a couple of people away. God bless you all. Thank you, Jahan, for holding on while I'm away. I hope you've been blessed by our Pastor Jahan. And the children, we have the children going out today? Okay, children, do you want to join? Anna Maria, yeah? So I'll call the children, so we'll pray for you before you go. We don't have many children. We have lovely ones today. We got Margaret, and we have Elizabeth, right? I didn't forget, you see? Do you want to join them? Okay, feel free to... if you don't, that's fine. But if you come, that's nice. So, yeah. Right? So let's pray for them. So we got two today, Elizabeth and Margaret. And we got Jerome there. Jerome? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the blessing of children. We pray for those children, Lord, that are not here today, that you may bless them and guide them. And I pray for the parents to be a powerful witness in the lives of those children, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. Can I have some water, please? Oh, there. Thank you, love. You see, your father must be proud of you. So I want you to open your Bible with me in 1 Samuel chapter 7. As you know, our regular activities during the week, we have some... Yeah. All right. We've got some teens as well. Um, our regular activities is Monday we got the prayer meeting Zoom, right? And Friday is our prayer meeting face to face. So I would really encourage you to come and pray with us every Friday at 7 o'clock. We had a good number last Friday, and I wish we can double that next week. All right, so 10 people must join us next week, an extra 10 people. Do we have the Girls Brigade in the, this week? So Girls Brigade this week, Wednesday, 6 o'clock. And then we don't have toddlers group anymore. We close for now, the toddlers group. And then God will lead us to do something else for the future. And so just pray for this ministry. And Thursday, so Tuesday is Jim's house group. Is here, yeah, Jim? A small group meeting here on Tuesday, 7:30? 7:30 here at church with Jim. And then on Thursday, we have a house group in Hemel, in Bella's, we're doing in Bella's place now. And then Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock here as well, we got a small group here on Wednesday morning. Come and join us if you are available with Ruth and Marlene. So let's read, shall we? 1 Samuel chapter 7. I'm going to read from verse 1. Actually, from verse 2. It was a long time. 20 years in all that the ark remained in Kiriath Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and their Ashtoreth, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you. Sorry, he will deliver you out of the land of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals, the Ashtoreth, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying now to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hands of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. Do you hear what this last phrase I said? He cried out, and what the Lord did? The Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-kar. You see, two places here that I want you to have in mind, Mizpah, where they got together, and Beth-kar, where they finished the battle. They completed the victory. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelites' territory again. Thus far, the Lord had helped us. what this does far means to you. Father, we want to ask you for your grace, mercy, and your ability, Lord. Give it to me right now just to share this word with my brother, my sister this morning. So you will speak to them. So you will help them in their journey. We'll strengthen them. But Lord, that will be the same attitude as the people of Israel in those days who came, who repent, who get rid of the gods in their lives and worshipped only you, served only you, and then you rescue them. Thank you so much, O God, for what you have done in the lives of your people who served as a powerful testimony for us. Not me, Lord, but you this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, what do you actually, what comes to your mind when you hear this word, thus far, the Lord has helped me? Samuel erected a Ebenezer, a stone. It was called a stone of help. So I'm going to speak to you today, the stone of help. You know, Jesus is also called Ebenezer. It is a stone of help. But in Hebrew, Ebenezer means stone of help, which is two words. Eben, which is stone, and Azer, which is help. So Samuel wanted the people to remember, not just for a few days, but they want them to remember for years, for decades, and for generations, how God hath come to rescue his people when they humble themselves before him. So this word Ebenezer, or this stone of help, should lead us to look back and recognize that God was not absent during terrible battles. And as I mentioned earlier, like Sister Bola and Segu, 50 years of marriage, and how many times in that 50-year journey have you come to the Lord and cry out for help? And how many times have the Lord denied you? Absolutely none, I believe. And this Ebenezer in the lives of these people represents a powerful reminder that God was never absent from the battles. He also comes and tells us that we not only us to see the present and his mercy and grace, but also to look toward forward to the future. And the challenge is also to look at days ahead with a different perspective, not on our own, but in God's. And it challenges our hearts that he has been with us until today. And let me tell you, tomorrow will be no different. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. Because our God is an unchanging God. You know, I like the final expression of this verse. So far, or thus far, or up to now, the Lord has helped us. This expression works as a reminder that someone left one place and arrived in another. Our life is a journey. You were born in the day, and then you arrive up to now, and you can say, thus far, the Lord has been my help. So far is a milestone that helps us look back, but simultaneously presupposes a continuity. Up to here is not the end of a journey. Up to here is for me to declare what the Lord has done for me. up to here. The expression up to here makes me like another expression. From here until. From here to describe a starting point, a kind of launch into the future and a continuation of a story. Because our story does not end when we die. Also, your story continues in the legacy that you leave behind. And what Samuel did is, I'm putting a stone here as a mark for you to remember the day that the Lord has delivered you. But also for those who are here right now to see that the Lord has been good. And also for you now to see that the Lord is good. And for your children to know that the Lord has always been good. Thinking about both expressions gives me encouragement for a new day, for a new year, for a new mission, for a new challenge. If up until now God has helped me, He will undoubtedly help me from now on until the end of my journey here. And according to His promises, He will also bless my generation, my offsprings. It is not the end of the day. It is not the end of the week. It's not the end of the month. It's not an end of a semester or a year. It is until the end of my journey, until He calls me home. How good it is to believe in the present God, isn't it? Our God is not only a God of the past. Our God is a God of the present, and it is a God who secures our future. Because He's a God, an unchanging God. It is safe to trust a God who fulfills and fills His promises. How many of you have received promises from God and have lived to see your promises fulfilled in somebody else's life? Not only in yours, but in somebody else's life. You know, the Lord said He would be with us every single day. In Matthew 28, of course, that we know there's a condition there. We are to go and make disciples of all nations, He said, and then I'll be with you to the ends of the age. You know, His presence is with us. His care and His help is with us regardless of the situation or the circumstances you're going through right now. Did you know that? Because your circumstances cannot tell God that His power is no more. Your circumstances can't say anything to our Lord because He's above every circumstance. We sung a song that said we may see a mountain, but God sees a mountain moving. Have you considered what was good and bad in your journey? Have you considered what can you improve? You know, on our journey, life brings us good and bad things. And I used to say, good people have bad days, yes. I'll name only one guy for you. He had no reason to go through, he went. Name is Joseph. A good boy, a good lad, grew up into a good man, a righteous man, a man of God, went through all he did. What for? To show that God is in control. Not because God wanted. I don't think he suffered, because it was in God's will. Right in the center of His will. And every time we hear, when we read the story, said God was with him. Because what makes the difference in your life journey is the presence of God. The presence of God cannot depart from us. If that happens, we're doomed. We're doomed. We make decisions, yes, and sometimes not a good ones, right? I'm sure you have made some bad decisions along your lives. But that hasn't changed God at all. But was in those bad decisions that you have met deeper what the grace of God means, what the love of God means, what the mercy of our God means. And let me tell you, Every single day when you woke up and opened your eyes, I guarantee you that the mercies of God was renewed over your life. Nevertheless, God is good and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Not only does it last, but the Bible says it's renewed every morning. Hallelujah. You have something to praise the Lord every morning. Because if you did not open your eyes, that means one thing or the other. You know, some of us had difficulties. Some of us lost their jobs. Others became ill. Others lost their loved ones. Relationships were strained. And the list goes on. However, God is still God. Let me tell you, if you pray to God to heal you, He doesn't heal you, He's still God. If you pray for a door to be opened, the door doesn't open, He's still God. Some of us were promoted, others were recognized. You know, some places here, some got married, children were born, people came to know Christ, we made new friends, we renewed broken relationships. But the story continues. And by the grace of God, we're still around. Have you thought about the grace of God this morning? We are confident that as long as we are here, being guided by God, He will be to us not only a helping stone, as Samuel proclaimed, it is your Ebenezer, your helping stone, but He will be our rock. He will be our fortress. He will be our hiding place. He will be our joy. He will be our deliverer, our provider, our healer, and our comfort in times when we need. Therefore, let us be sure that God will help us until our story here ends. But He will make sure that before our story here on earth ends, we will be spending eternity with Him. But for that to happen, all we need to do is to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. Invite Him to be our guide. Invite Him to be our Savior, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit to come into your heart. Let us be sure that God will help us, because He will. He declares, I will never leave you. I shall never forsake you. Do you think God was just trying to make you feel better when He said that? No, He's not a man. God is not a politician. Right? To want to tell you what you want to hear. No, He will tell you even sometimes what you don't want to hear. And hear what He did with the people of Israel. What you do, you are in slavery right now because of your sins, because you have rejected me, you have abandoned me, you have put other gods in your life. And these gods that is related here, this Ashtaroth god, was a god of sexuality. They call fertility, but it's nothing to do with fertility, it is immorality. And that's we've been allowed it into our homes, into our lives many times. And the place where we are in the church, it just keeps silent. But let's meditate on our text, shall we? One of the most tragic accounts in the Old Testament is found in the first chapters of the book of Samuel. You know, God's people were attacked and defeated by the Philistines near Ebenezer. Now, I want you to pay attention to this place and these names, because it's very important for you to understand why He erected that little stone right there. More than 30,000 people were killed, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the enemies, causing great commotion among the entire nation. Know the priest Eli, receiving news of the failure in battle and the death of his sons, two sons, and the loss of the ark, He was a priest. He was on his rocking chair, I believe. I don't know, it's a rocking chair, but he was sitting down. When he heard the news, he fell back and broke his neck and died. His daughter-in-law went into labor pains, giving birth to a boy, and he named him Ichabod, which means the glory of God has departed from Israel. The glory of God has departed from Israel. Now, amid the tragedy, the word of God came to Samuel, who exhorted the people to return to the Lord with all their hearts. But how long that been? The text we read said it was 20 years. It was 20 years of suffering, 20 years of slavery, 20 years of fear. But he said, repent from your sins, humble yourselves and serve the Almighty God, so they could have the victory. They would have been afraid. It's in verse 3 of the verse we read, the chapter we read. This is what happened after they have defeated their enemies. Samuel looked back, remembers the bitter defeat, and recognizes the victory given by God in the present. So they look back and see now what the present is. Then Samuel sets up a memorial to the Lord and calls it Ebenezer, which means, as I said, the stone of help. This is the name of the village near which the people were when they were attacked and slaughtered, losing the Ark of the Covenant. But he named it Ebenezer and declares, so far the Lord has helped us. So it seems strange, doesn't it, to name the victory memorial after the village Ebenezer, right there where they had been defeated. You know, the more appropriate place or the more appropriate name for that stone, as I mentioned, in those words, those places, could have been Mizpah, right? When they got together, the sacrifice to the Lord, they repent. I would say there was a great revival there at the time when they came to the Lord. Wouldn't be a nice name, wouldn't it? No, but wasn't. It was probably where the Philistines attacked them and then they obtained the victory. Would be logic to name that Mizpah. No. Or even Bethkar, which were the place where they finally, were the final enemy, when the enemies, the rest of the enemies were killed and defeated. And when they pursued the enemy all the way to Bethkar, could have been also Bethkar, but no. But the memorial was named Ebenezer. Why? Where they suffered their first and terrible defeat. While in erecting this memorial, Samuel seems to see God's hand in victory, but also in defeat. Not just in comfort, but also in discipline. Not just when God blesses, but also when He corrected us. We don't like to be corrected, do we? When you're growing up as a children, Bola used to come to you, come on, Junior. Huh? You know, you may don't like that. Other people laughing at me. I'm sorry. Ebenezer helped us to look back and recognize that God was not absent in the terrible battles, as I said. The days of defeat, God was there. The days of unanswered prayers, God is there. He was with you and with us and with them in good and bad days. His hand brought us comfort, but also brought us discipline. His presence welcomed and comforted us. The tragedies brought us to tears, yes. You may be going through a time of a great battle right now inside of you. And only God may know what kind of battle you're going through. May some of you are going through a battle that you can't even tell anybody. They would not understand you. But God does. God does. It's a battle between you and the Lord. Let me tell you, and the Lord is here this morning to touch you and to tell you, thus far, the Lord has helped you. And from now on, God will continue to help you, to be a helping stone for you. The Lord is your help. The Lord is your peace. Ebenezer also leads us to look at the present day, saying, so far or up to here. But today we see his mercy and grace, patience and blessing, protection and comfort throughout these years. Our hearts are invited, you know, to thank God, to thank him for all that he has done. And this action is also invite us to worship him. The Lord wants us to recognize him as who he is. As I said in the beginning of this message, Ebenezer leads us to reflect and consider God's help and providence, protection and deliverance in the coming days. The expression so far indicates an incomplete journey. It is incomplete. The journey is not completed yet. There are days and times ahead of us. He has been with us until today, and tomorrow will be the same. We can count on his mercy. We can count on his forgiveness. We can count on his teachings and also on his discipline. Listen, no tragedy cannot take away our joy, because our joy is not a thing, is not a feeling. Our joy is a person called Jesus Christ. Our peace is not something external that can affect us in. No, our peace is Jesus. He is our peace. Ebenezer, the Lord helped us till this far. But also, it is a call to gratitude. It's a call to contentment. It's a call to brokenness and faith. He who keeps you, he does not sleep or slumber. He will not sleep. He's right awake. It is the keeper of his people. The Lord is the one who keeps you. He will keep you when you wake up, all the way when you go to bed. And he keeps you as well when you're sleeping. Let me tell you what you do when you sleep. Close your eyes and you don't know who you know where you are. All you know is the dreams that you have. Maybe you don't even remember in the morning what kind of dreams you had. But let me tell you, what if something would happen to you while you're sleeping? You don't know, but let me tell you, the angels of the Lord surround you. The protection of our God is right around you. And if you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, then you don't have to worry about even opening your eyes in the morning. Because God will take care of you. We'll also take care of your loved ones. Can you add 1 minute to your journey? Can you add one single protection to here and there? You know, when your children go to school, as far as you can, you keep your children near you, you know. But let me tell you, you don't have the control when they are away from you. God does. Not trusting God to do that, that's not a good idea. Sometimes it becomes a sin because we become so obsessed with we can control. I remember when my kids went to school for the first time. What's going to happen? You know, you releasing your children into a hand of a stranger to say to your children whatever they want to say, because you don't control their minds, do you? These days you can see how terrible people are. All those awful and evil ideas people are putting into in our children's heart. But you know what's going to keep them? The faithfulness of our God. And the powerful word of God, who says he will protect us. If you teach your children the principles and the values of of God that is right there, explicit in the scripture. I tell you and I guarantee you, the Lord will keep his promise. The Lord will keep your children, mind and hearts. But make sure that you are a powerful example to your children. And I said this many times, and I say it again. Sunday school is not an excuse for you not to be a powerful witness and to teach your children the Word of God in your home. It's our responsibility to help you, to encourage you where you need help. But it's your responsibility to lead your children to Christ. They are your first disciples. They will know God as much as you do. Do you want your children to know God? Go know God yourself. And I guarantee you, God will not let you down. He will never. He will never let you down. But remember, in this journey, we need to trust Him. And that stone of help was just a small reminder of how good and great our God is. How faithful our God is. You know, God take people from here and there. You may even think, so what have I done wrong, Lord, to bring all the way from Brazil this guy and put it here to tell him all these things? I don't know. You take it with the Lord. But anyway, you know, God does whatever he wants to do in order to bless you. You see, as I mentioned, Joseph was sold as a slave by his own brothers. How horrible that is. Went into Egypt, was bought by Potiphar, served him faithfully, been treated the way he was by Potiphar's wife. You know, it's horrible when those things happen to him. But then he was accused falsely and he was sent to prison. But even Potiphar, do you know why? He was supposed to be killed. If it was somebody else, he would be killed. But I'm sure Potiphar knew what wife he had. Right? But then he sent him to prison. In prison, what happened to him? Did he think, oh, poor me, oh Lord, you know, I'm here in prison. You know, my journey, my brother sold me. I'm now, when I think my life is going up, now I'm all the way down here. Did he mourn? Did he complain? No, he excelled. Why? Because the presence of God was with him. Brothers and sisters, and I'm sure, during this 50 years of marriage and the years of your life, the Lord has been faithful to you. And all of you, the Lord has been faithful to you. How many times God saved you? How many times you think, well, we're going to die? Quick story. 1999, I went to Austria. I think I've mentioned this before to you, some of you here, but those who have not heard, I'll tell you again. Of those who heard, I'll tell you again. But those who haven't heard, I'll tell you once. And I may tell you again next time you come. We arrived in Vienna. We're in a place where we could not stay there in that house. We should have moved another house. I was there to help a church. We only had Bella. Bella was 2 years old. And suddenly she started to have an asthma attack or something. She couldn't breathe. And we were tired of the journey. We drove all the way from the UK and then from Holland to Austria. And Bella, I saw my wife was really, really tired. And we went through a difficult time. Even up to there, we are going through a difficult time in our lives, but we are there to help these people. Then suddenly I was looking at Bella and she couldn't breathe properly. And I was afraid that if I would close my eyes, she would die. And in the morning I would just see a dead body, my precious little one there. And then I'm here, Lord, I said, Lord, why don't you do that? Me, I understand, I can take it, but not her. And so Adriana was kind of trying to sleep, and I was there waking in the living room, was a one-bedroom apartment, and looking the window and watching, and I got my Bible in my hand, and I was reading the Bible and praying, said, Lord, please have mercy. Have mercy. And that was already 4 o'clock in the morning. I was still awake and reading and worried about sleeping. And then if I sleep, she won't wake up. And suddenly the Lord spoke to me. I opened the Bible, and the Bible tells me, who has a God like Jehovah? Who protects and to care for those who love him? And he asked me some very straightforward questions. The first question is, Isabella has two fathers, you and I. Which one do you think can take care of her better? I said, you, Lord. So, Isabella has two fathers who can heal her, you or me? I said, you, Lord. I said, Lord, I'm so ashamed. I know you are a wonderful God, and I'm here worried about it, not sleeping. Oh, please forgive me. You know, next day, somebody came, knocked on the door, took her to the hospital, and then also we moved to the house of this person, took us to her house. You know what happened the next day? Went to the hospital. I don't even know what happened there, because my wife went there. I didn't even went into the hospital. We got to this place. On the following day, Bella had nothing anymore. She was completely healed. She had never, ever had any of those episodes anymore. You know, the Lord that knows you, the Lord who looks after you, he does not sleep. So you can do peacefully. The Lord who looks after you will look after your children at school. But make sure that you do your due diligence, right? Come and talk to them when they come back from school. What you have learned today, darling? What happened? Well, how was your day? Please do engage in your children, with your children. And to be honest with you, I find very amazing today. I mean, my sister, she works with children. She was a head teacher for many years. She's a pedagogy, whatever. She said, children would not be good for them to have any kind of screen at the age to the age of four. Because that would not help them. But today, I see parents giving children their phones or their tablets because they want to feed them. In my days, it wasn't like that. You're not going to eat? Okay, you go hungry. And then if you don't eat, that's fine. No play for you, nothing. And then you put something that sometimes would be different. You know, I would have a nice touch, you know, and there, but that's it. But you see, today we are too afraid because that we have given into the system. But let me tell you, God is a good God. He looks after, and he will discipline us whenever we need. So I pray that this morning you will understand this little stone of help in your life, or this stone of help in your life will help you to see not only what God has done in the past, but what God is doing right now and what he will continue to do, because the same God who brought you as far to here will help you all the way to the end of your journey. And then in a few years' time, I know it wasn't here that Junior got married, but he will come here. So 50 years now, we're going to celebrate as well. So you're welcome if I'm still around. And so let's stand and let's pray. And I'm going to invite them in a minute, so we're going to pray for them. But let's all stand, shall we? Father, you have been our help in time of need. You have been our comfort every time we were sad. Lord, you have been our deliverer, our deliverer. You have been all that we needed throughout our life journey. And we believe that you will continue to be so, because you're the same yesterday, you're the same today, and you will not change tomorrow. Because nothing outside, Lord, you're not bound by time, you're not bound by my unbeliefs, you're not bound by my circumstances. Lord, nothing can bound you. The only thing you bound for, Lord, is your promise and your love, and that you will look after us. You've been doing so. So I thank you so much for my brother, my sister here this morning, that may they go out of here today trying to identify their Ebenezer in their lives. But let them, Lord, make sure that you will be the same for them tomorrow, even if their circumstances says otherwise. You are good God, and we thank you in Jesus' name. But let us also understand that in order for us to be victorious, we need to come to you in repentance as the people did, and take away anything that occupies the place of your life in our lives, of you in our lives. So help us to come to you in humility and say, Lord, have your way. I pray in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. We hope you're encouraged by today's message. If you want more information about Camrose Baptist Church, visit our website, www.camrosebc.org.uk. Follow us on Instagram at Camrose Baptist Church and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Camrose Baptist Church, Edgware. Thank you.